Many believers are bound in moral sins, sins made easy by anonymous internet access to porn. So, what can motivate any of us to point that mouse somewhere else in our private moments? Today on Running to Win, the one bottom line reality that will convince us to make right moral choices rather than follow a slippery slope into sexual sin. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Erwin Lutzer comes now with more of his fourth message, this one on what grace teaches us.
Let me put it clearly, and I hope it will be clear for you. You could go through the New Testament and discover that every command is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's all based on what he's already accomplished. So you are not left helplessly in the midst of your struggle. You are to make sure that you renounce this. And by the way, I haven't emphasized it enough, God has worked it so that we really can't do this independently without fellowship and accountability. But that's a separate story we'll talk about later. Notice that it really comes down ultimately to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, from my heart to yours today, as a personal testimony, the thing that has motivated me to deal with secret sin in my life, the greatest motivation, is my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that Jesus is grieved because of my sin. And when I realize that, because I love him, you can rationalize it all, but you remember David, against thee and thee only have I sinned. When Joseph was tempted, you remember what he said, how can I do this great sin and sin against God? He said, what I will do will hurt God. And the more you and I love God and love his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the more willing we will be to say whatever it is that God requires, I will do. So there's a lesson here, and it is a lesson also of obedience and a lesson of deliverance. We've had a lesson of forgiveness, of deliverance, and now a lesson on focus. You'll notice what he says, how shall we live? Verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to wait for. The fact is that Jesus is returning. Now, I don't think here that the Apostle Paul is necessarily distinguishing the rapture from the church, from the glorious appearing. He's talking there about the consummation of the age and the revelation of Jesus Christ when he returns. And that's what we should be looking for and motivated by. You say, well, yeah, throughout 2,000 years, people have been looking and being motivated by it, and it hasn't happened. But nevertheless, it is a good motivation because we know it will someday happen. Now, because I knew in advance that I was preaching on this passage today, when I woke up in the morning, in accordance with my usual prayers, I also prayed, today I want to live in such a way that I would change nothing if I knew that Jesus was going to return tomorrow. We have to live that way, because Jesus might return tomorrow. By the way, you know, when you look at the history of the Christian church, what you'll discover is this. When Christians are in trial, when they are under persecution, they begin to look to the return of Jesus Christ, and it is motivating to them. In an affluent society like ours, the return of Jesus Christ is marginalized. Why should we look forward to his return when everything seems to be going quite well? Thank you very much. So God make sure that we have lots of trials, that we might keep our eyes focused on the return of Jesus. Because return, he will. We should live all of life under the watchful eye of the returning Christ. So there's a lesson here on motivation, a lesson here on focus. There's also a lesson on perspective, and this to me is the most important part of this passage. I hope that you're looking at it in your Bibles. You'll notice it says regarding, by the way, have you ever heard it said that nowhere in the Bible is Jesus explicitly called God? If you've heard that, just look at what I read. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Could that get any clearer? I don't think so. But now notice, I'm going to give you an opportunity to clap in just a moment. It says, who gave himself for us to redeem us. Folks, if this doesn't motivate you, I guess there's no way you'll ever be motivated. To redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. What is Jesus after in our struggles? Jesus is after purifying us that we might be his own possession and doing it for himself. You say, well, you know, my main motivation is to make sure that I overcome this addiction. I'm going to go after this addiction. That's not your main motivation. Your main motivation is that you might be purified by Christ for his glory, for his possession, and to specifically please him by your own life of righteousness. That's really the motivation. And in the process, of course, he's going to deal with your addiction. But to think that your addiction or your habits are really the main focus is to miss the point of it all. I've been so struck with this week because you'll notice that it goes on to say zealous for good works. You know, of course, that there's so much discussion about the church today. Books being written about the church, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. Should we be in politics? Should we not be? What is politics? All of that, because we look about and we're losing all of our battles. I mean, really, we're in a moral and spiritual freefall here in the United States, and the church doesn't seem to have much impact. I don't know, because I can't see the mind of God, but my suspicion is that the reason might lie right here is that purity precedes power. You'll notice it says that he might purify for himself a people. What does it say in the fifth chapter of Ephesians? Christ gave himself for the church that he might cleanse her, so that he might present the church to himself in all of her splendor. Does the church today appear in all of her splendor? Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. A holy church. And if you love Jesus, you say, therefore, I want to be holy for him. And that's the biggest motivation. In order to help us understand this, I'd like to read a story. This is taken from the book Out of a Far Country by Christopher Yuan and his mother. They wrote it together. Now, get the picture about Christopher. Christopher was deeply into homosexuality, but he was also a drug dealer, so he got busted for drugs. After being busted for drugs, he discovered that he was HIV positive. The impact on his family was huge. His mother, at least at that point, had come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and she continued to pray for him, which is such an important part of this remarkable story. And while he is in prison, after accepting all the arguments, you know, you can't change, don't try to change me, I've got my own lifestyle. He says, I was in a survival mode, and this is when he was in prison, as I paced along the perimeter of the cell block. steering clear of any interaction with other men. I turned back toward my cell when I passed a garbage can overflowing with trash. I realized that my life was just like that trash. I had grown up in an upper middle class suburb of Chicago. My dad had 2 doctorates. I'd been on my way to becoming a doctor myself. Now I found myself among common criminals. Trash. Not even my friends wanted me. They wouldn't even accept a collect call. I was nothing but a reject, a throwaway. And then he said, he looked at this barrel of trash and noticed at the top of the trash there was something that caught his eye. I bent over and picked up a Gideon New Testament. It was brand new and not even opened. I carried it back to my cell and thought, well, I've got time on my hands. I might as well have something to do. As I sat on the metal bunk's cold mattress, I opened to a small book. I opened the small book to the Gospel of Mark. Well, as you guessed, Christopher came to saving faith in Christ. But now I want us to understand how he saw something that I believe you and I have missed. In all of our struggles, in all of our identity issues, listen carefully. He says, as I continue to read the Bible, I realize that my identity shouldn't be defined by my sexuality. Paul says in Acts 17, for in him we live and move and have our being. Christ should be everything, my all in all. My sexual orientation didn't have to be the core of who I was. My primary identity didn't have to be defined by my feelings or sexual attraction. My identity was not gay or homosexual or even heterosexual, for that matter. But my identity as a child of the living God must be in Jesus alone. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I always thought that the opposite of homosexuality was heterosexuality. But actually, the opposite of homosexuality is holiness. God never said, be heterosexual, for I am heterosexual. But he did say, be holy, for I am holy. My friend today, this is Pastor Lutzer. If you know someone who struggles with homosexuality, I can't think of any quotation that I have ever given that could be as helpful as the one that you have just heard. It's actually from a book that I reference while I preach this message. But the fact is this, that God is the one who calls us to holiness. And for those who struggle with homosexuality, the issue is not whether or not God changes their desires, but whether they are willing to live a celibate life, a life of holiness. What a marvelous story of God's forgiveness. You know, this is a series of messages entitled Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. In a moment, you'll be given some information as to how these messages can be yours. They're critical in today's world.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of What Grace Teaches Us. Another message in his series, Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. No matter how far we've fallen, there is hope if we come to God in honest repentance. Tomorrow, a powerful testimony of one man who found that God's grace was enough. Our need for God's grace has never been greater. All 6 messages in this critical series will be sent on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win comes to you as a ministry of the Moody Church.